The heir to the imperial throne of Austria-Hungary, Archduke Franz Ferdinand, is best known for his assassination in Sarajevo, which set in train the events which led to the First World War. Lesser known are his special connections with Bohemia and Moravia, and his plans for shaking up the whole empire, which might have forestalled Czechoslovak independence. Chris Johnstone has more.
Tak nám zabili Ferdinanda.
Kterýho, paní Millerová?
The famous lines from the start of Jaroslav Hašek's famous satirical novel, The Good Soldier Schweik, introduces the assassination of Archduke Franz Ferdinand d'Este, the spark that ignited the First World War, as a banal event. Few at the time could have foreseen what the events of June 28th in Sarajevo would lead to. In spite of Schweik's purported ignorance and nonchalance, Archduke Franz Ferdinand, the heir to the imperial Austro-Hungarian throne, was a significant figure in Bohemia and Moravia, the industrial powerhouse of the disparate Austro-Hungarian Empire. As Mrs. Miller's comments suggest, Franz Ferdinand might at some levels even have been thought of as a local, or at least a very localised, Habsburg. He married a Czech noblewoman, Sophie Chotek, after being smitten by her after they met at a Prague ball in 1894. The relationship was kept secret for the first few years because by the Habsburgs' exclusive rules about who should enter the inbred family, she was not up to it. After refusing to be deterred, Franz Ferdinand finally got his way. He overcame Emperor Franz Joseph's resistance, and the couple were married in what only could be described as a very discreet ceremony at Zakopi in northern Bohemia in 1900. The ceremony was shunned by the Vienna aristocracy, with only the Archduke's mother and sister as significant guests on the groom's side. There had also been a price to pay for the wedding bells to ring. It was agreed that the price paid for marrying into the Bohemian nobility was that the couple's children would not be eligible to succeed to the imperial throne. That snub was one of many which Franz Ferdinand and Sophie faced from the imperial court in Vienna. Partly as a result, the couple spent a lot of time in the Bohemian chateau of Konopiste near Benešov, around 40 miles from Prague, which the Archduke bought in 1887. He installed there his massive collection of game trophies and antiquities. Even by the standards of the late 19th century gentry, Archduke Ferdinand's obsession with hunting the furred and feathered was exceptional. His trophies are estimated to number more than 300,000. The already strained relations with the ageing Emperor Franz Joseph, who held the empire together since the revolutionary year of 1848, did not improve with time. Archduke Franz Ferdinand d'Este only became heir to the imperial throne after the suicide of the Emperor's son, Crown Prince Rudolf, in 1889, and the death of his own father 7 years later. Archduke Franz Ferdinand is often described as having a reckless, choleric and authoritarian personality. There are a lot of arguments over whether the Archduke's political views made him a liberal reformer or a conservative. But it's pretty clear that he disagreed with the Emperor on many aspects of how Austro-Hungary was run and made little secret that he intended wholesale changes. In particular, the Archduke resented the predominance that Hungary was given at the expense of other nations in the empire. Australian historian Christopher Clark, in his book The Sleepwalkers, about the drift to war in 1914, argued that Franz Ferdinand understandably favoured those who did not look down on his lower-born wife. That included the warmongering Austrian general Franz Conrad, who was infamous for his calls for Austro-Hungary to launch a preemptive war against the small kingdom of Serbia, seen as the main troublemaker in the Balkans. Conrad, largely as a result of the Archduke, was appointed chief of general staff of the entire army in 1906. The great-grandson of Archduke Franz Ferdinand is Nicholas Hohenberg. He attended a conference in Prague on June the 2nd to discuss the assassination and his relations with Bohemia and plans to reform the empire. In the crowded conference room afterwards, this is what he had to say about the Archduke.
The idea that he was a militarist is probably a bit of a cliché. He knew very well that the military power of the Hungarian Empire was very weak and very disorganized, and it needed reforming. And he always backed out from situations which could have led to a war, because he was not interested in being part of that. Again, I mean, I'm talking from a family point of view. I'm not a historian. What I can say is that him as a family person, being very close to his wife, he was not confrontational. And we know from family histories that his wife very often told him, look, I mean, if you send now people to war, there will be sons of people who will be killed. Do you really want this? And he was not interested in that. So that's a bit of a cliche. What he wanted to do was reform the whole thing. And by doing that, he was saying, I have to give more autonomy to the different ethnic parts of this empire. It can't be that it's centralized between two powers, Austria and Hungary, and especially the situation in Bohemia. It was a historic anomaly, because all the Habsburg rulers were crowned kings of Bohemia. And that hadn't happened to Emperor Franz Josef for whichever reason, and he definitely didn't want to have that. He would have, if he had the chance, he would have made sure that he's crowned king of Bohemia. So that's something he wanted to change. I don't know whether he would have been successful. Unfortunately, that's something I can't say. But he was at least trying to change things and not wait until everything falls apart. That was a bit of a problem.
It was later revealed, for example, that the Archduke was in contact with the prominent Czech politician, Karel Svíha, of the Czech National Social Party, a left-wing party which championed greater Czech independence. A member of the party was also Edvard Beneš, later one of the key architects of Czechoslovak independence. Slovak Milan Horšta also helped the Archduke design the plans for a federal empire with a greater share out of power. Nicholas Hohenberg again.
The fact that he inherited or he acquired these two estates in Bohemia helped. And he was not stupid, and he knew Bohemia was the economic powerhouse of the empire. And you can't just deprive the people over there from political influence and autonomy. You can't do that. The same was in the southern part of the empire, the southern Slavs, the Croats and so on. So he was saying it just doesn't work that way, and he has got to amend this, to change this. And that was clear. I would say that being married to a Bohemian countess probably, yes, helped the whole thing.
Czech historian Jaroslav Šebek agrees that Archduke Franz Ferdinand did distinguish himself as someone who mixed with the top of Czech society and was amenable to putting forward plans for reform that were eventually advanced at the end of the First World War, when they had already been overtaken by events and it was already too late.
Já si myslím, že ta cesta byla ve federálním uspořádání Rakouska.
The direction of his moves was for a federal reorganization of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. The concept of a federal autonomous monarchy was set forth, but only in official form at the end of the war with the Manifesto of Charles I. But it was already at the end of the empire, and it basically did not make any sense. It is possible that this federal model could have in some sort of way continued under Franz Ferdinand. There's obviously a question if it would have been able to solve the most acute problem, and that was the nationalities problem. There was a very strong antagonism between Czechs and Germans when we talk about Bohemia and Moravia. That was the biggest problem. In fact, the most destructive element in the empire was not Czech, but German nationalism, and I think that Archduke Ferdinand was conscious of this.
Byli to právě ti němečtí nacionálové. A to si myslím, ale František Ferdinand uvědomoval.
As heir to the throne, the Archduke had already created a sort of shadow government in anticipation of the day when he would eventually take over from Franz Josef. The circumstances which put pace to those ambitions and put Europe on the road to war will be covered in a second installment of this programme next week.